In a very real way, we are in a transitional period in history. Nations around the world are looking to move away from fossil fuel dependence and find more alternative and sustainable ways to create and use energy. Good morning, I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment, a regular Wednesday feature during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. It's important our government entities set policy for and invest in a more sustainable future. But we also need to create generations of professionals who can carry out and implement the shift to a new energy future. That means an expanding role for institutions of higher learning. Our guest this morning is Deborah Rowe, and Deborah is president of the U.S. Partnership for Education and Sustainable Development and a professor at Oakland Community College. Deborah, good morning and welcome to WEMU.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here with you.
Is it fair to say we're in the midst of an environmentally friendly alternate energy and green building explosion?
It's fair to say that we're in the midst of what should be that. We have some barriers, particularly in the United States, that are preventing that from happening. And so it's more like we're on the cusp of that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. It seems our federal government and many of our state governments, including the Michigan legislature, are very slow to embrace the change. Is the polarization of our elected bodies impeding adequate progress?
The polarization is part of it. The lack of understanding that in order to move forward most effectively, we have to really take the time to dig in and find the win-win solutions across both parties and, of course, other groups of interests. But it's also about taking a look at the low-hanging, high-impact, low-hanging fruit, high-impact possibilities that could really provide healthy economic activity for our communities, provide jobs, both for those who are in the professional groups, as well as those in the blue-collar, often-termed green-collar jobs that we could be creating, and in all the existing professions, because every time somebody makes a decision about consumption of resources, they're making a decision that can affect whether or not those resources are used in a green and sustainable way. So there's all sorts of possibilities, and it's not just the federal government, it's not just the state legislature, although, of course, if they were in my class and behaving the way they are, I would definitely be flunking them. But it's also individuals and what they can do in their own homes and their businesses and their activities as a consumer, an investor, and a community member.
Well, in America, we are basically a society of convenience. And while we overspend on many of those conveniences, we do demand cheap energy and transportation. So just how big a barrier is that public attitude and behavior?
You know, America is not a society of convenience historically. America is a society where people have been willing to really think things through and to do what's good for our country as well as themselves. So the history of Victory Gardens and recycling in World War II is a stunning precedent of what we can do. And there are people all over this country that are making those decisions and building higher quality of life. So one of the fallacies we have in our present culture, I won't say it's the American values, it's just a relatively short-term culture that's emerged because of so many people's exposures to ads that say you must consume this in order to be okay, is this idea that consuming more is not only good for the country, but that it's good for us and our quality of life. And there's a robust stream of research now from multiple disciplines that show that quality of life, once you can pay your basic bills, isn't about more stuff. That deeper happiness around life is around the quality of your personal relationships. And you'll find that those who are doing sustainable living are also paying attention to building community quality of personal relationships. And that's an appeal that much of the rest of our culture doesn't really get yet. And it's also, by the way, based oftentimes on what small town America was like, the good parts of it, where you are more self-sufficient, but also more cooperative with your neighbors. There's also a lot of misinformation that's being put out by vested interests who want to see us continue using fossil fuels because many of them would benefit from it in terms of profiting. So you hear, oh, renewable energies, they don't work, they're for the future. But yet the Stanford Energy Institute, right, one of our premier institutions in the country, has done studies at the Stanford Energy Institute that say we can meet our needs with present technology, with renewable energies and energy efficiency. But why aren't we implementing that 80% now? Well, it has to do with individual attitudinal barriers. It has to do with a lot of regulatory barriers, and fossil fuels are still being subsidized at a much greater rate, about four times of what we get for subsidies for renewable energies.
We are talking with Deborah Rowe. Deborah is president of the U.S. Partnership for Education and Sustainable Development and a professor at Oakland Community College. As I mentioned at the outset, Deborah, if we're going to make a more quick and smoother transition to a greener future, we're going to need generations of highly educated and trained people in alternative energy fields. Do we have enough education available in our institutions of higher learning right now to meet demand?
Well, because we still have vested interests that are controlling a lot of our regulations and policies in organizations as well as in government, causing all of us to waste money in the way that our taxes are spent, to pollute more, that hurts the health of our families. At this point, do we have enough training? Well, perhaps. If you look at theseedcenter.org, this is the Sustainability Education and Economic Development online initiative that the community colleges, the American Association of Community Colleges, put together. And it is rich with materials for our 1,200 community colleges. And many of those colleges have started programs over the last couple of years. And it's not just in the solar and the wind and the green building and energy efficiency, but it's also in sustainable agriculture. It's also in transportation fuels. And there's also a section on policy, because everyone has an important role to play in holding our elected representatives and our corporate executives accountable for the consequences of the decisions that they're making. And you don't have to be an expert. In fact, on our website at the college, we have videos that show you what you can do to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And there's two levels of action. One is your personal choices. And don't spend time feeling guilty or laying blame. It's a waste of time. Just get into proactive problem solving. The second thing that you, and to, you know, make more sustainable choices. The second thing you can do, though, is think systemically and help to change laws. So three of my students, after one of my courses, decided to call one of our senators, because we were putting together in this country what was called a solar bank bill. Imagine that you could put solar energy on your house for free, and then you pay back out of the savings, because there's a revolving loan fund that allows you to finance it. Why is it so easy to hook into a polluting coal-fired power plant, but more difficult to put in the solar? So we need to shift those financial mechanisms so that it becomes just as convenient.
Well, given the barriers that you've pointed out today and some of the potential solutions, where do you see the state of Michigan and our energy future as a whole 5 years from now?
That all depends on whether the citizens and groups who care about this, or who should be caring about this, if you care about your daughter's health, as she goes through her reproductive years, you should be fighting to shut down coal-fired power plants. If you care about children and senior citizens and reducing respiratory illness, you should be fighting to shut down coal-fired power plants and putting in much more cost-effective energy efficiency. And if we get involved in that in our state legislature and call your local representatives, because they don't hear from enough people. They do hear from the utility companies. There's a very strong political argument why we should be contacting our state legislatures and saying to them, don't let the utility companies tell you what kind of policy we need. You're responsive to us. And what we need is a cleaner, greener energy future where it's easier to do energy efficiency and renewables than it is to do polluting power plants. And you need to move the cash flow so that it works for us.
That is Deborah Rowe, president of the U.S. Partnership for Education and Sustainable Development and a professor at Oakland Community College. I'm David Fair, and this has been another installment of Issues of the Environment. It's a cooperative effort of the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division and the News Department at 89.1 WEMU.